You are listening to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and they do this each and every week. For over 3 years now, the guys have played and reviewed almost 200 retro video games. But now, for the first time ever, New Game Plus presents a six-part mini-series called Press Start.
Welcome to New Game Plus. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And this is Press Start, our first ever mini-series.
It's a huge deal because I never thought we'd be doing not only Elements, but also another kind of series.
Yeah, it's super fun. And I gotta say, big shout out to all of our patrons for helping us hit the milestone that gave us an excuse to do this.
Yeah, like Nolan said, we would not have thought about this. We would not have planned to do this necessarily. We're not creative. But
heck no.
We don't know what we're doing.
Because they know that by now. But because our friends, our patrons, those that have joined us on Discord, have come together, supported us faithfully over these last few months. As soon as we hit 2019, we hit a new goal, and we're able to put together our first ever mini-series. And this is part one of that mini-series, and it's looking to be a six-part mini-series. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn.
Yeah.
But we're going to do one episode at a time, and as mentioned, it's called Press Start. And the reason it's called Press Start is because, obviously, in the video game world, that is the beginning. That is the origin story of any game that you play. And we, in these at least first three episodes, are going to share our stories with gaming.
It'll be a fun opportunity to get to know us a little bit better if you've been listening to the show for a long time. And if you're a new listener, it'll be a great chance to get to know us a little bit and what has brought us, you know, all these years later to be people who care about video games enough to spend our time playing old ones and talking about it.
Also, shout out to Dustin for the cool name, Press Start. That's really dope.
Press Start. We have talked about some of the games that have impacted us throughout different episodes. We've come across games in our Retro Master list, and we played them that impacted us as kids, or that we had fond memories of as youth. We've talked briefly about that, but we've never brought together comprehensively our histories with video games. And so for the very first time in the history of New Game Plus, we are going to do that. And the way that we're going to share that is just, we're going to go youngest to oldest. So part one, this episode you're listening to right now, is little baby Nolan's episode.
Little baby Nolan.
And we're not giving every detail of our life. Instead, we're sharing with you an overview of our gaming journey. And we're each going to take an episode to share. And listen, I understand if you're not a fan of New Game Plus, you might not care about this. We'd love for you to join us on this journey, but mainly our friends, our patrons, all of you, this is for you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nolan.
When were you born and how was it?
Well, I do want to start with my age because we said youngest to oldest, so let's establish that. I'm 26, and that means I was born in 92. So gaming was a thing already. And pretty well established. I was a baby, so I couldn't play games yet. But that's where that's when I was born. So the first game that I remember playing was the first ever Mario, the original Mario Brothers on the NES. So I guess that's appropriate first game to play.
I'm kind of surprised that lasted long enough. Like, the NES had a long lifespan of being kind of how people played video games, but I forget that.
Yeah, dude. Like, lasting power. That was, I don't know the release date, but yeah, it had been out.
That's probably 85, right? 87?
In fairness, though, I played the NES long after it was new. Like, it stayed entertaining for me, you know, even into, like, high school, which is interesting. Anyhow,
Right. Well, I think it's because I think the console, like, it was kind of revolutionary in a way. Like, there had been home consoles, but they weren't good yet.
No.
The NES was the first one that was like, wow, like, whoa, this is really cool. We don't need arcades anymore.
Yep.
Rip.
Game changer.
But yeah, that was the first game I ever played. So that game's really important to me, but it's not even close to my favorite. But I will say that seeing Nintendo for the first time and interacting with that character, like, for me, Nintendo's always been about the characters. And so that was the first, like, connection I had. And Mario is iconic, obviously, but, like, that's what kicked it off. Like, just something about that connection with the character there for me that kind of, where I was like, okay, I like this. I'm not sure why, but I definitely like this gaming thing.
Do you remember where you played it at? Like, did your family own a Nintendo? Or
no, we didn't
relatives?
Have an NES. My cousins did.
Got you.
And that same NES will come into play later in my story, believe it or not, in a pretty cool way. But yeah, we didn't have one. So my interactions with the game were brief, you know, at that time. Just visits, you know. So the console we did have, the first one that I ever owned, was the Sega Genesis. And I think we talked about this some on, you know, older episodes where there's a Genesis slash...
We talk about this a lot because I didn't have a Genesis. And for the most part, as like the people that I grew up with, you either had one or the other. And
yeah.
And
you were gung-ho.
And I was on the Nintendo side of things, and so I didn't get much experience with the Genesis side of things unless I went to a friend's house, but you had the complete, pretty much opposite as me.
Yeah.
Does this explain why you like bad games like Sonic?
Okay.
It actually does, but...
It explains it, but don't ever call Sonic a bad game. Call it a bad movie. Rip. Let's not talk about
that. And it's not even out yet.
Oh, I'm already traumatized.
So the Genesis, yeah, I was the weird kid that didn't have the Nintendo. I had the Genesis. But I'm proud of that fact, and I was back then too, because I believe that the Genesis was a really good console and had a lot of really cool games that tons of people missed. Now, there were obviously a lot of ports, you know, that were also on the Super Nintendo, so you could have both. But man, there's just some feeling about a Genesis that it's, you had to really own one to feel the, like, hipster thing that I'm trying to get at right now.
Genesis was the big jump to 6 buttons, right?
No, it still had 3. Well, it had 3 on the controller.
I think, yeah, so it started with 3, but then they did create another controller that did have 6, the top and the bottom buttons. But you had the one that had the 3?
Yeah, the original one that had, like, the D-pad, start, select, and then 3 buttons, not 4, and not 2. So I guess it was one ahead of the NES, one less than the SNES. But they were big buttons. Like, there was something about the controller that was really comfortable. So that, I mean, that console, you know, Sonic, some Power Rangers game that I always rented, which that's
Mortal
another
Kombat,
thing.
Were you allowed to play that?
Oh, yeah. I was.
Really?
Actually allowed to play that game. Yeah, my parents didn't know about the fatalities because I didn't know how to input them. But Mortal Kombat, yeah, heck yeah.
You talked about renting games. Did you do a lot of video game rental?
Yes. Oh, yeah. That was that's another part that I actually didn't put in my notes, but I just thought about it. I rented games like crazy. We didn't buy games.
Do you remember where you rented from?
Yeah, Video Giant on West 5th.
Oh, gosh, you know the address. I rented from Take One Video before they went out of business, and then it was Blockbuster.
Kenny?
Honestly, you guys weren't Blockbuster people?
No,
not at first, no.
I didn't do a lot of video game rentals, like occasionally for real specific purposes.
Yeah.
And I knew people who did and sometimes kind of took advantage of that, but I tended to play what I owned.
Okay, that's fair. Well, my family was a little different. We rented a lot of movies, too. It was the 90s. Like, you rented movies and games, and it was It was better times. I miss it so much. I miss being a kid and not having responsibilities, just playing games all the time. Next up was the N64. So we had the Genesis way longer than you should. You know, like, it had been out for a long time. But Christmas of 97?
You remember actual dates? Who are you? I guess remember. You're still young and your brain is pliable and fresh. And it wasn't that long ago for you.
97 would have been the year after it came out. So it would have came out the Christmas of like 96. You got it a year later.
That sounds right. Yeah, we wouldn't have got it at launch because my parents were like, nah, too expensive. Sure. It probably would cost the same, though, at that time. I just really wanted it. Now, I do need to point out I have two siblings. They are older than I am. My sister's 12 years older than me, and my brother's 10 years older than me. So my sister didn't play video games, but my brother did. And we shared consoles, and it wasn't like a get off the Genesis, I want to play it. It wasn't like that. We shared pretty well. But the N64 was the first time we got to really play together. So the N64 is my favorite console of all time.
Is it the N64 that led you to become a Nintendo boy?
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, yes. He was already kind of there.
Well,
I was already for a little bit. But
he had the experience for a little bit, but then he was a Genesis boy.
I was a Genesis boy.
I mean, even now today, 2019, Nolan is a Nintendo boy. I mean, he plays PC, 100%. Right? PC gamer, but Nintendo is your love.
Yeah, 100%.
And it's in large part because of the N64.
Yes. Yeah, that's so fair to say. Because we got, with that game, we got Scars, which we played on the episode. It's a random racing
game. That's the game that you got? That's
what caused her to fall in love with Nintendo.
You fell in love with the Nintendo 64 of that trash fire of a game?
Yes. Yeah, yes. Because, look, my brother wasn't my gaming partner. My dad was. And he's old. My dad right now is
in his hundreds,
66 or something like that. Yeah. He's old. But, I mean, at the time he was in his, I guess, 40-something. But, like, he was a trooper. Like, he doesn't care about video games. He didn't care. But we played local multiplayer Scars so much and GoldenEye. Obviously, that's going to probably come up in all three of our episodes. But he would let me sit there for hours, and we would play multiplayer, and I would just pick odd job and cheap him out, and he would have a blast doing it because he loves James Bond,
and he loves his son,
So it was
good. You jumped from Scars to actually having fun playing a good game.
I know. Well, there's a lot in there too. With the console, we probably got the console that came with Mario 64. So that was the launch title, and that game is in my top five. It is amazing. It is probably the first time that I fell in love with gaming. When I played on my N64 that Christmas, Mario 64. That's the moment for me.
That's one of this isn't going to be a true statement, but I'll say it anyways. That's one of the early games where you can really get lost in it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that you
truly
can,
lost, have no idea where you are, what you're supposed to do.
Well, I'm meaning like it's where 3D is becoming more and more real, right?
Yeah.
And you've got this fully realized world out in front of you. For the most part, most of your games prior to this, you can get lost in for sure, right? Early Final Fantasies, your Dragon Warriors, all of those things. You can get lost in it, but not a fully realized three-dimensional world.
Of the character I originally loved as a child.
I'll buy it, Kenny, because of launch title, but there's some 64 games that are way better than the first Mario.
Whoa.
I don't know about better, but
don't agree with that.
Some other games that you can get lost in for sure.
You said it was top five. I guarantee you Ocarina of Time is your top four.
Oh, well, that's a good segue, Kenny. Thanks for bringing up that game. So I didn't buy Ocarina of Time. I didn't rent Ocarina of Time. I do not remember how I got Ocarina of Time, but I had the game.
Dream?
No. Someone let me borrow it. I'm pretty certain. They're like, I don't want this game anymore.
Back.
And I knew about that game, and because that game was very hype at the time, and for a good reason, obviously. But I was like, I really want to play Zelda. Like, I want to check that out. And that game I mean, I said Mario 64 was the one. That was the first time that I like fell in love with gaming, where I was like, this is the best hobby ever, and I never want to stop doing this.
Are you more of a Nintendo boy or more of a Zelda boy?
Ooh.
Not that they're exclusive, but I'm just...
I know. I was going to say they're one and the same, but I know what you're asking. I'm going to say I'm more of a Zelda boy.
Whoa, that took me by surprise.
Yeah, but let's be real. Miyamoto, like the legend, is a Nintendo pioneer, and I love him, and he's my hero.
So I know this is probably getting ahead, but yeah. You played Ocarina of Time. That changed your gaming perspective. Did you play... the mask one, the Majora's Mask,
wow.
As a kid as well?
No, because you needed an expansion pack to play Majora's Mask. Which
you know
was this,
Havi?
I know Havi expansion packy. It's a modular add-on to the console that sucked. You needed to play DK64, and you needed it to play Majora's Mask, a couple of other games. But luckily... Video Giant on West 5th had one that you could rent with Majora's Mask.
I love that.
So the homies hooked me up every time, unless someone had checked it out, which
happened. Oh, they let you check it out?
Oh, yeah. It came with the game. Yeah. And I would get extensions on that game. You better believe it. I'd be like, Mom, I'm not done with it. But, okay. Yeah.
Out of those two games, just because they're, like, I know Ocarina's in your top five, correct?
Yeah, it's probably top one.
Is Mask of Majora...
Wow.
Dude, come
is
on.
Is Majora's Mask, bro?
In my top five?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, really? Both?
Yeah, my top five's really annoying. I don't want to tell you.
Right, then that's fine. And you love Ocarina more, correct?
Yeah, I think I
but
have
which
to
one's
say that.
Better?
Majora's Mask, I think, is a better game. Yeah.
Okay.
Because they improved a couple of things, but the story
right.
And your Young Link the whole time, it's just captivating.
I mean, that's Kenny's second philosophy, sequel philosophy, right?
Yeah. It holds up, I think, because it's just dark and it's unapologetically dark. Like, it's kind of a sad ending. It's
I feel
just
like we're well past being sequels at that point. Like, you're well into a series.
Well, 3D Zelda's on the N64, it's absolutely the sequel, I think.
Okay.
The second, yeah.
If you follow the lore of Zelda, each different Zelda is a different iteration of the three people. So, Ocarina, yeah. But except Majora's Mask, right, is a direct sequel of
correct. That's
Ocarina.
The same Link from Ocarina of Time. He leaves Hyrule. And goes to Termina. So, all right. N64, major point in my life. Probably my favorite console to this day. My dad sold it in a garage sale.
How old are you at this point?
I don't know, actually. Let me think. So, if it's 97 when we got it, 97, 98, I'm 6, 7 years old.
Okay, so you're still pretty young.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm a kid.
This is preteen. Wow.
I got to play N64 nonstop because I was a kid still. Like, I had kindergarten or, you know, first grade, whatever. But, yeah, I played it all the time. But my dad sold it in a garage sale, and I'm still salty about that. Anyways, moving on. Handheld gaming was a pretty huge part of my gaming history. So, all throughout, even before the N64... I've had every iteration, almost every iteration, of the Game Boy since the original one. And I played it a lot. And so handheld games, Tetris was way up there. Super Mario Land was another one. But there were handheld Zelda games that came out for the Game Boy Color, actually around the time that N64 was coming out, called Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons. And those two games, along with Mega Man Battle Network, which was for the Game Boy Advance, those handheld games lasted me years. I replayed them. I think I taught myself that, hey, wait a minute, you can replay the same game and have as much fun, if not more fun, replaying it. So that concept to me was all on the handheld consoles. And to this day, I love handheld as a platform, as a console.
Interesting. That's so interesting to see because I think handheld is hit or miss for gamers. Like
yeah.
You, I dabbled in it and we had some things and I'll talk about it on my episode, but it was never like huge for me. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine for Kenny, I'm guessing that it wasn't either.
Probably
You'll
not.
You'll just have to find out.
Oh, man.
Okay, you're going to keep this in suspense.
In next week's episode of...
Can do that. DBZ style.
I know, that's incredible. At the end, we need to be in a battle, and I'll be like,
Next time on Dragon Ball Z, will they fight?
And I'll be completely confused by the reference.
Wow, because you just didn't watch it.
So was Game Boy Color your primary handheld device? Gaming device?
So it evolved. As the consoles came out, I would get the new ones because I was a spoiled brat. My parents weren't rich by any means, but they loved me enough to, you know, treat me like a spoiled brat and get me the console.
They kept you occupied is what they did.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'll probably do the same. But I would say out of all of them, the Game Boy Advance is probably the one that was like my handheld system because the games that came out on the Game Boy Advance are some of the best games that I've played. Like they're in, you know, there's probably one Game Boy Advance in my top 10, I'd say. But handheld, yeah, like carried me up until the GameCube. So I had a PlayStation 2, right? And that was my first exposure to PlayStation, to anything non-Nintendo and non-Genesis. So all my friends were PlayStation boys. And like PS1, you know, I didn't have that. I had the N64. So PS2 introduced me to some pretty interesting games that were very clearly to me different than what I was used to. Like Final Fantasy. That was the first time that I played a Final Fantasy game, and now it was a PS1 Final Fantasy, and it was Final Fantasy VII. I'm not stealing your thunder, Dustin. It was just, that was my first one.
I didn't know that was your, so that was your first Final Fantasy, playing Final Fantasy VII on PlayStation 2?
On PlayStation 2, yeah. So backwards compatible back in the day. You could
rent
you could
it, or
play.
It was your friends?
It was my friends. It was Zach's, yeah. He let me borrow it with the strategy guy, and he was like, dude, you need to play this game. It's my favorite game of all time. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't have a PlayStation, or I don't really play PlayStation games. And he was like, trust me. So the introduction to Final Fantasy was like, okay, this is a JRPG and this is how it works. And so I was like, I mean, 7 was a very revolutionary title. It was more than a JRPG. It changed things. And anyways, but you know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, Japanese RPG. Okay, cool. This is what you play. And so that was a really interesting time in my life because I just didn't know about that world of gaming. I didn't know about the other consoles and what the games they played. So that was new to me. But then I get the GameCube and I was like, screw the PS2. Let's get back to this Nintendo stuff.
So really your experience with the PS2 is pretty short-lived just because...
I wouldn't say short-lived. I just say that when I was coming up with my notes here and my history, I had trouble remembering some of the PS titles that mattered to me. Now, I had fun with it. Like, Simpsons Hit and Run was such a good game. Like, I had so much fun with that game on PS2. But, yeah, I kind of just lived that era through my friend Greg, who had a PlayStation and was, you know, in that zone, that area.
Yeah, love it.
Now, the GameCube. The launch title I got with the GameCube was The Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker.
Windbreaker?
Are you kidding? Are you trolling me? Mask of Majora and Windbreaker? You've got... Okay. You've got it coming to you on your episode.
At least he didn't call it GameCube Zelda. Zelda GameCube.
Wind Waker is the creative art style, correct? That one?
Yeah.
All right, in the water. In the boat.
In the boat, who is actually the king of Hyrule. It's really weird, but listen, a lot of people were pissed that game was made at the time. Now, and I think it's because you had Ocarina of Time, which was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is the future of Zelda. Majora's Mask, wow, they're not afraid to get dark and serious. And then they came out with The Wind Waker, which was the next major console title for Zelda. And it's this kiddie cartoon-looking graphic style. And Link looks like, I don't know what, but it's like a complete 180 in the style of the series, right? And I remember opening that game at my birthday party at a laser tag place. Whoa, this is coming back to me right now. This is weird. At a laser tag place, I opened that game, and I don't remember the rest because I was like, I want to leave right now and go play this. I stayed up that night. That was the first, like, I stayed up past my bedtime. Well,
like,
I didn't have
a
bedtime.
Yeah.
But I stayed up, like, almost all night, engrossed in this game, and thinking to myself, what idiot in their right mind would think this game is bad because of the art style? The art style was beautiful, and that moment for me was when I was like, all right, this is an art form. Gaming is not just you know, your parents tell you to go outside, quit wasting time, all that. This is an art form. Like, someone made this, and I was like, okay, hang on, maybe I'm interested in possibly making a game one day or being involved in that in some capacity.
And you were already a Zelda boy, so yeah. Like, you were already hooked, and to find a new game in the Zelda universe that you instantly loved, even, like, yeah, I can
that I saw the commercial for on Nickelodeon a million times and the hype was built. That's how it was back then. Like, it wasn't ads online, it wasn't IGN reviews, it was like, whoa, that commercial, wait, that's Zelda, wait, it's coming out, like, ugh.
I feel like this was also like hipster, quasi-pretentious Nolan being born a little bit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, this was early days, yeah.
Like, this game's great. What are you guys talking about? I know what's up.
I don't. This would have been 2003, 2004, something along those lines. So yeah. You were entering your teenage, like, it's that bridge from child into earliest teenage years. And yeah. So that is where the potential to, like, really cement one's faith in video games and love for video games. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened with you. And it was Zelda that took you there.
It was Zelda. And as a series, yeah. And I think the console, too, like, the GameCube is so cool. Like, it's a cube. It's weird. Like, Nintendo's not afraid to be funky. And that controller is sitting on my desk as I speak because I still use it to play Smash Brothers. Because it's an excellent controller and it had staying power. So, really cool time in my life and my gaming history was the GameCube. So, I spent a lot of time there. Great games. Animal Crossing, so many. But I won't get into all the games. And, oddly enough, that carried me, like, through high school. I mean, I got a Wii, and I got an Xbox 360 from my brother because he didn't want it. He was married and, like, just didn't have time, I guess, and he gave me that. So I played Call of Duty, and I tried the Xbox Live thing. Yeah, right. Like, I tried the Xbox Live thing and was like, no, I don't want to do this. This is not my style. But I did play Fallout on the Xbox. Now, you know I'm a Fallout fan. I don't want to talk about it too long because I'm still salty about the recent events.
Yeah.
But that was another, I think, important time for me because I was exposed to something that wasn't Nintendo, something that wasn't Final Fantasy or, like, Square. It was an American company that made this RPG, but styled in a very interesting and compelling way. So I spent the rest of my high school days playing Fallout and games like it all the way until college. So that kind of covers that whole period right there. Was probably Oblivion and those types of styles of games,
like,
along with
role playing, like, deep, like, because Zelda, I think, is more Zelda Mario. That's more platform, puzzle, action oriented. Yeah. And the games that you're mentioning now, you kind of entered into more
investing
of a
time.
Era.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was a really fun. Like, I did that all through high school, and, you know, I played some multiplayer games in high school. Like, Halo was a huge deal too for me, but not in the sense that, like, I don't know if I'm looking at my timeline right now. Like, if it's in visual form, I'm not gonna see it on there in a huge way. So yeah, I played that all the way until college, which is when I got a PC, and that, like, PC gaming for me is now a really huge deal, and that also showed me that there's this world outside of console that's not new. I have been missing out on it for years,
For, yeah, that happened pretty late in your life. For as much as you're a PC gaming kind of fan, I always assumed that you had exposure earlier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I knew that Nolan was a console...
He's console only?
Console gamer for the longest
time. Pretty much.
Well, and, I mean, here's the thing. There are some allowances here, but you couldn't do tons and tons of PC gaming, and I know your hardcore, like, a DOS and Apple II users are going to say that you could, but, like, you couldn't like real modern-day PC gaming for the majority of Nolan's, you know, like, formative years of falling in love with gaming. So, for the most of us, we had to fall in love with video games through consoles.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I think it's due to, like, you had to do LAN to do multiplayer, truly, and it's like college age to adult guys are going to be doing that because you don't have a PC. I had my parents' computer, and don't get me wrong, I played quite a few PC games, you know, growing up as a kid, like Diablo was one of them. My brother had Diablo 2 and RuneScape, as we recently talked about that too, but that's why I'm not getting into it, because it's such a recent topic, but RuneScape was in there.
But you did forget to mention one of the most important things, that it was during this time that you and I became friends.
That what?
It was... That I have to repeat it twice is just disgusting.
Well,
it
you was, were trolling me this whole time.
It so was I get... during this time that you and I became friends.
Yes, it was. And I had my PC built. I felt like a awesome guy. And I was going to college now with my big old PC, and I could do whatever I wanted. And...
Hold on, I forgot how huge your PC was.
It looked like a freaking
he
tank.
He built this huge tower, and he would carry it around, like, huge tower. I'm talking, like
the biggest kind. The biggest kind you can get.
Yeah. Massive. And I remember him taking it back and forth from college so that we could play games and do LAN parties and
LAN,
stuff.
LAN, baby. Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure it was a good computer, but no way it needed to be as big as it was.
No way it needed
to
be that
big. No, it didn't, but... And it was also not good because I had to haul it up three flights of stairs at college to get to my dorm room, but it was worth it. So we met, and this is crazy, but the first gaming experience that we bonded over that's so special to me was League of Legends.
LOL.
And that was early LOL, after it had been launched out of beta, but still early enough that it wasn't the esports game that we know it today. And
right.
Early, and Kenny, yeah. This is when we all three actually bonded over this game, I'd say, because, man, like, I cherish those college days where we had a Ventrilo server, Discord was not a thing, and we played League of Legends and laughed. We didn't care. We just played cool characters that we liked. We go bot lane and just, man, it was so much fun playing that type of game. And that game was like a MOBA. That was new.
And caused our friendship to deepen and our anger to broaden as well. Our frustration, our rage.
We've dropped that game since, and I think it's for the better.
It's
but
so
Kenny
much-
would
you
totally
got, you
play
guys
it.
Got sick of me having to carry you, is what it was.
Kenny
no,
would do
no,
the
no,
most
no.
absurd things.
Jungle Taric.
He would just, but it was a lot of fun, and I haven't laughed as hard in playing games with you guys ever.
That so League of Legends in college, but also something that's in my top 10 is Minecraft. That game for me did something for me. Like showed me PC gaming, but like I would just get lost. At college, playing PC games, Minecraft and League of Legends. When y'all weren't on, I'd be playing Minecraft. And then,
like when you did, when you decided not to go to class, it was to play Minecraft.
Yeah, and I freaking did not. I skipped class a lot. Let me
ask you. With Minecraft, did you do that more undercover? Were you, I'm just asking honestly. Were you a little bit embarrassed of that game? Because I don't remember. Like I knew that you played it some, but I don't remember that being much of a thing. But the way that you're describing it, it was a big thing.
It wasn't that I was embarrassed of it. It's that I can read a room and knew that you wouldn't be interested in it, and so I didn't feel like. Talking
okay
I don't know I didn't think you'd like relate to my experience with it, so it wasn't like I was embarrassed. I've always been proud because when I played Minecraft it wasn't a kid game, like it was it was not at all a kid's game. I played it in beta and alpha days and it was just a Lego game to me, so yeah, college was a lot of fun because of my PC. It was a really big part of my gaming history. And I'll just fast forward after that because I've been a PC gamer ever since. I kind of dropped the consoles for a while. And up until recently, I feel like I am now back on that console hype along with my PC. I use it often, but the Switch is where I am now.
You've made a comment before about the Switch being the greatest console of all time, maybe even. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that? And we're at the early stages of Switch, so like it only has up to go, you know, like forward to go. Do you believe that the Switch is and will be the greatest console
that's been created? Yes, I do. Wow. I think N64 will remain mine because of the power of nostalgia.
Uh-huh.
But the Switch, I think, is the best console we've ever seen. And I'm really proud to be an owner, and I can't wait to see what games come out. And that is, I did a really bad job, but that's my gaming history. That's where I came from.
And I think it's so incredible to hear your story, because knowing mine and kind of following through of like your age along with my notes, totally different experiences. And I can only imagine that Kenny's, yours is completely wildly different than both of ours.
Yeah, mine doesn't look anything like Nolan's.
I love this. There's a few
kind of key overlaps, which are neat, but
yeah,
for the most part, like, we lived in totally different worlds.
I saved this for the end just before we go. I mentioned that NES came back into play. We had this, my grandparents had this trailer at the lake, called it a lake house, so it was a trailer. But those were fun memories in their own right, not gaming related. But, well, I had handhelds. But anyways, that console that my cousins had ended up at the lake house. And not only was it the console, it had the official high quality case with dudes like every game. There were like 25 games in there that were all like the games, like the ones that you wanted to have on the NES. And so it was free reign. I got to play so many retro games. At the time, it wasn't quite retro, but nowadays, like when I think back, I thought that was pretty cool.
Thank you for listening to Nolan's video game journey in our first episode of Press Start. You'll want to join us for the next episode in this, the next part in this mini series, as we hear about my journey in gaming, my story. And then in the third part, you'll be able to hear Old Man Kenny's story as well. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is New Game Plus.